This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis riding out on old Dan. Come on, Dan, let's go. We've been dragging around and getting back under the saddle here on a Tuesday morning. We got here yesterday and began this study, or looking back in this study on the second coming of our blessed Lord, or the soon coming, I call it, the imminent coming, our Lord's coming. Don't ever let nobody fool you, Dan. The Lord's coming. Oh, my friend, what a day that will be. What a day that will be. The Lord is so plain and so positive about his coming. And I don't like to bore folks with what I say, but I've told you one time, I've conducted funerals there in New Orleans over the years, and big old cemeteries with those big old mausoleums and granite and stone and all those things. And I was there one Saturday conducting a funeral, and I saw five backhoes digging the grave. Five. And we already had our grave site repaired and was conducting this service. And I told our folks along this line, you know, one day the Lord's coming with a shout. That's what the scripture says, with a shout. And I just maybe imagine things, but I believe it'll be a bright, shiny morning when the Lord comes, maybe at midnight, I don't know. But I just imagine it'll be a bright, shiny morning, sun shining. And the Lord said he'd come with a shout. Now, I don't know what it means. It may be hallelujah, praise the Lord. I don't know. But I thought about when that shout comes, those in the grave will go first. They'll be the first ones to rise with the Lord. And those graves will come open, my friend. This is reality. It's not fantasy world. Those bodies will come forth out of those graves. And I said, those backhoe operators over there will see that dirt flying off of those old graves. And those tombs and stones will begin to fall apart. And I believe those backhoe operators will head to the bushes like a rabbit to the broom seat. I do. I really believe that, my friend. I know it could be wrong, but that's all right. But what about you? Are you ready to go? Are you ready for that shout? I believe it'll be hallelujah. You know what that word hallelujah means? I never did know. Looked it up. It means praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. And I know some of our folks have run it in the ground with our emotionalism and all of those things. But anyhow, let's get back to our study. We're looking at the second coming, or the soon coming of our blessed Lord. And we were looking there what Peter said. Peter declares we should love and rejoice in the coming of our Lord. He said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange things happen unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that his glory shall be, when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." I firmly believe, I really believe, every born-again believer rejoices in the fact that the Lord is coming back to earth again. I mentioned in our last study that it's a fearful thing if you're not saved, because when the Lord comes, my friend, he's going to leave you behind. That ought to encourage you to turn to the Lord as never before. Come on, folks. Come on, folks. You know, the old Trailblazer is your friend. He's just an old country boy. People make fun of me. But my friend, I want you to be saved. I want you to be rejoicing in the Lord. Peter says, rejoice. Rejoice. We don't go around with a long face with our lips poked out. No, sir, we're rejoicing, my friend. But I believe with all my heart that every born-again believer rejoices in the fact that the Lord's coming back. Why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we want to see the Lord who died for us, who paid my sin debt? And I think about it, how much sin I piled up before the Lord saved me. Now I can say there's not one sin registered against me in heaven. Not a past sin, not a future sin, not a present sin, because they're under the blood. We sang that little chorus here, under the blood. Safe in the shepherd's fold. Safe though the worlds may crumble. Listen, why shouldn't we want to see the Lord who died for us? Is that your goal, my friend, to see the Lord? We're not talking about the streets of glory. I heard a man on the radio one night. I was coming home from New Orleans, And I heard this man once in a while out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. And he said that in his early days, he was an architect or an architectural student. But he drew plans and those kind of things. And he said, I've asked the Lord to let me draw my own plan, my own mansion. Now, isn't that silly? That's the most silliest thing I ever heard of, my friend. To think about that. You know all I want to do? Oh, I just want to see. I want to look in his hands and see the nail prints. I want to look in there. You know, the Bible says our names are written in the palms of his hand. But I want to go there like old Thomas. He told Thomas, said, put your hand here in my side. He pulled his clothing back and said, put your hand here, Thomas. And he said, observe these things. And old Thomas, he done been, we call him Doubting Thomas. Let's don't criticize Thomas. Are you not full of doubts and fears, my friend? I am. Oh, my friend, the Lord has to give grace done. But he told old Thomas, he said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. I haven't seen those scars, but I believe God's word. You know, I've mentioned in our study, in our congregation, I believe God's word, every jot and every tittle. I believe every comma, every semicolon is put there for a purpose, my friend. I do. I believe that. You say, well, you're a fool. Well, I'm a fool. I know that. But, my friend, God's word, we've whittled it to pieces, those devils have, and they've got out these NIVs and all those other things. I have a man gotten mad with me because we don't sell the NIV Bible. Oh, hell won't be hot enough for those interpreters, they call themselves, or turn the Bible around and think we don't know what's going on. My friend, I saw a Bible one time in a bookstore. They called it the African-American Bible. African-American. And it was based on the black race. And they had pictures in that Bible, which I don't believe in either. And they had pictures in that Bible of Moses and different ones. And they used these ungodly actors. I could name some of them, but I won't do that. They depicted Moses as being one of those highfalutin actors. All through the pages, my friend, that's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. We'll get off of that right now. Our Lord's coming back. All that'll be washed aside, my friend. But listen, let's go back. Why shouldn't we be looking for the Lord, one who died for us? Then the pastor, the shepherd of the flock, Peter says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, that's Christ, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, every true shepherd, every true pastor, every true born-again believer looks for the chief shepherd who will return for the flock. And the one who has been faithful over God's heritage shall receive a crown of glory, or a glorious crown that fadeth not away. My friend, the true shepherd will continue to be faithful to his flock. Oh, my friend, I tell you oftentimes what a responsibility it is to be true to my folks, to you. I have to be true to you. My friend, I don't seek your approval. All I want is the Lord's approval. I want to be able to say, well done, my true and faithful servant. And you know the only way I can be true is by grace. By grace. My friend, I'm just an old sinner, just like you are, redeemed. The true shepherd will continue to be faithful to the flock, no matter, because he's been purchased with the blood of Christ. Now, I know the trials and the tribulation that many of our pastors go through, including myself. I know that. And it takes a lot of grace. It takes a lot of staying on our face before the Lord out on the back porch on the cool of the evening. Lord, help. Lord, help. I tell you, if you're not saved this morning, one prayer that you could pray, Lord, help. Lord, help. Lord, don't leave me. Lord, don't forsake me. Lord, you said. And then you could name those promises. We have a book here by Mr. Herbert Lockyer, All the Promises of God's Word. Isn't that something? All the promises. And you could go down one page and up the other, pleading those. Lord, you said, whosoever will, let him come. You said, come now, let us reason together. Lord, that's what I want to do. Lord, reason with me. Lord, reason with me. I don't know how to pray. Reason with me, Lord. Lord, tender my heart. That's reasoning with the Lord, my friend. But oh, and we're going to notice what the Apostle John says in our next study, but we're running out of time now. Let me go back and remind you, we're here every day, Monday through Friday at this same time, but we also have our worship hour services, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they're all over the internet, streaming, live streaming. They're on the Radio Missions Radio that you can find there on our website. And we just poor old sinners saved by grace. That's right. I met a lady. She said, well, I'm looking for a Reformed Baptist church. I said, well, ma'am, we're not a Reformed church. We're just an old-time sinner saved by grace. I know what she meant. I know that. And I said, we preach. She said, what do you preach? She said, we preach the foundational doctrines, the sovereignty of God, the total depravity of man, the election of God, the predestination of God, and the soon coming of our blessed Lord. And that's what we're doing now, and bringing you these studies that you might learn and absorb and realize. You know, I could really maybe frighten you with some of the things, because the Scripture says when these things begin to take place, look up. And what are those things, Apostle Paul speaking of? Not the stock market, not the war in Iraq and Iran and over there. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the spiritual, the dearth, the lack of faith, the lack of seeking the Lord. Do you know anybody wants to be saved? If you do, you call me and write me. If you say, oh, Pastor, I know several people who want to be saved, call me and tell me that, or write me, email me. My email address is pastor@radiomissions.org. But call me. And I know that this country is known as a Christian nation. No, we're not a Christian nation. We're not, my friend. We're a religious nation. We have more religion. We have more churches in little towns than you can even imagine. But that's not our subject today. We're going to get back tomorrow. Come on, Dan. We're going to go back and get you back to the barn. And we're not out on the road this week. We're just staying close to home. But we're still out with old Dan. And he has to go back and get something to eat. And I do, too. I'll go back and get me a hot biscuit and some coffee and maybe some grits and egg. But, my friend, pray for the old Trailblazer. Would you do that? Would you tell me you're praying for me? Would you write me and tell me you're praying for me? I'm not a popular person, my friend, but the Lord loves me. Did you know the Lord loves old Trailblazer? He said, I love you with an everlasting love. And he gave me that verse over there in Exodus 3:12 early on. He said, certainly I'll be with you, Trailblazer. Certainly I'll be with you. Remember my mailing address, the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785. Goodbye and God bless you. If you missed part of today's broadcast or would like a recording, the Old Trailblazer broadcast is now available for download to your phone, to your iPad or computer via podcast. Find out more about our podcast by visiting our website at radiomissions.org. That's radiomissions.org.